Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook, / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter, at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
Hey, this is Hugh Culver, the author of Give Me a Break, and you are listening to David Wood on the 600-second Kick-Ass Life Show.
Make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
That it is, on top of the morning to you. That's right. Well, you know, we're the 600-second Kick-Ass Life Show, designed to put a little smile on your face. That's right. I put a little spring into your step. And allow me to give you a little kick in the booty. That's right. A little kick, push in the rumpro, as I like to call it. A little kick in the arse. But you know, and I know, I always start with fun facts. On Saturdays, And do you realize that more people have fantasies about money than they do about sex? And if we could have any luxury in the world and money and time wasn't an option, the surveys tell us that most people would have a butler or a maid. And I must admit, I do appreciate that one. I'd like to have a butler. I don't like packing me bags. I don't like doing it. Do you realize this? That money is the leading cause of disagreements in marriages. That's right. And if 65% of Americans, I know it's a global show, but apparently this is where the survey came in. Do apologize for that one. 65% of them would live alone on a deserted island with nothing for $1 million for a year. That's all right. But they did a global survey and they did this thing. They said, all right, $10 million, what would you do? And what they found was they found that people would abandon their friends, their family, their religions, even their churches. And they said that some would, or most of them would change their race, change their sex. And one out of every 14 would actually murder someone for $10 million. I thought, oh my goodness. But here's where the survey gets really weird. They said, but for $3 million, that's the lowest they'd go for murdering someone, $3 million. But they certainly wouldn't do it for two. Yeah, next time you meet your mother-in-law, she said, what you saving for? Just saying, nothing. Anyway, so how's everyone feeling today? I'm feeling amazing. You know, I had a little bit of a runny nose this week, but you know, my voice is all sexy though, don't you think? Hello, how you doing? Yeah. Anyway, what are we going to talk about? Well, you know, I thought today, because I'm listening to what people are asking me on Facebook, on private messaging me about, there seems to be a lot of issues around this subject. Listen up.
But your love won't pay my bills. I want money. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want.
Money, 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 money. You know, what I thought I'd do, you know, I teach a lot from some of Kiyosaki's principles, the principles that I've... That's Robert Kiyosaki, wrote the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. If you haven't read his book, Business of the 21st Century, I suggest reading it, especially if you're looking for a vehicle. And again, some of you have called me and chatted with me and asked me questions about things like that. And, you know, I'm more than happy to help you sort of look at and actually sort of may reconsider in some ways some of the thought processes that you may be having around this subject. Because a lot of people, for me, it's... The biggest thing they're lacking is just the right vehicle. And that's what happened with me when I was training for TR Becker for all those years, is I was watching people coming, investing, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on training for themselves. And really what was happening was they lacked a vehicle, they lacked a community. And really, I think the environment plays such a massive role in that whole money equation. So anyway, I thought what I'd do is I'd share a couple of principles that I've utilized for Kiyosaki. We'll go through them pretty quick, but this is from an article that Robert Kiyosaki talks about. Live below your means, or the poor dad says live below your means. The rich dad, he says expand your means. And so he looks at always the difference between his rich dad and his poor dad. He had a very rich mentor that helped him understand money, and that's where he became wealthy. And he's a real down-to-earth guy, this guy. You know, he says this, he says, my poor dad's budget focused on cutting expenses to meet his income. It was important for him to pay everyone else and then enjoy what was left, if anything. He says, my rich dad's budget focused on increasing income. It was important for him to pay himself first and then taking care of his expenses. He said most people use their budget as a plan to become poor or middle class rather than become rich. My budget plan is to become rich. So here's a few tips that he gives. And again, these are stuff I subscribe to. So it's not, I could do it without reading him, but I want to give you people I've learned from, because I mean, I think we're all learning. We're all, you know, I'm constantly a student. I always say be a student first. We only have 5 minutes, so I'm going to run through this pretty fast. He says, number one, a budget surplus is an expense. One of my rich dad's most important lessons was you have to make a surplus an expense. What he meant is that most people view their surplus as an asset. They place their extra cash in the bank or they spend it on liabilities rather than view extra money as an asset. He said rich dad viewed it as an expense in the form of charity, investing, or savings. This is really important because a lot of us want to contribute. He said most people want to give to charity, invest in assets, which is important, and save money. But the problem is that they view it as something to do after they paid their expenses. By making these things expenses in his budget, my rich dad ensured that he would make them a priority, so he called it paying himself first. This is such a big thing. It's like, you know, you want to do that, you put it in right away. Doesn't it make sense? Otherwise, do you get to it? Well, often you don't, right? Here's number two. Your expense column is a crystal ball. I love this one, right? He says, because if you want to predict a person's financial future, just look no further than the expense column, all right? And some of you don't know what that means, but if you write down what you spend your money on, all right, so here's an example of two different expense columns. Person A, donate to charity, savings, books on investing, seminar on real estate, gym dues, personal coach. Person B, six pack of beer, new shoes, new TV, football tickets, another six pack of beer, bag of potato chips. Now, while that's kind of humorous, it's not far from the truth when you look at almost most people's expense columns. They're sort of littered with payments to other people for liabilities. In each case, expenses don't go towards anything that's going to make money. It's just going to take money from their pockets. And he's really big on that, is, you know, what's going to be putting money in your pockets? And I'll do a whole show on this. I just want to give you a thought on this. You know, number three says use assets to pay liabilities. And this is what I've done. You know, so you want to buy something luxurious. He says, my poor dad was frugal and thought that it was a virtue. If he wanted a luxury item, he would simply deny himself the item. He said, we can't afford it, which most people have a default mode. I can't afford it. I don't have the time, right? My rich dad loved luxury, and if he wanted a nice toy, he'd find a way to buy it. He wasn't reckless with his money. Rather, he was smart, and he made it work for him. And used his financial education, right? So by increasing his assets, which increased his monthly cash flow. So if you have a rental property, right, and you increase the amount of money you're getting in your passive income stream or residual income stream. Remember, you guys, if you want to create wealth, you've got to understand residual and passive incomes. And it's something I'm very, very passionate about. Okay. And so by increasing, so we did something last, I'll give you a real example. We wanted to buy, my partner Mike and I wanted to buy a beautiful lakefront property. And, you know, we live on a lake. It's, you know, 80 miles long or something, you know, and we found this 6 acres that was for sale with 3 cabins, and it's got a house, and the cabins are right on the water. We're talking about 8-10 feet from the water. It's just gorgeous. 40 minutes from our home on beautiful Okanagan Lake. Well, guess what? What we did was we'd been investing, and one of our properties, we were able to leverage the property and take money out of the property, all right? And when we did, it bought us this lakefront home, right? This lakefront property together as a team. We share it, 2 families. It's big enough, right? And what we did is we found after we did it, our expenses, our mortgage went down, because we redid our mortgage at the same time, and our cash flow went up, which sounds crazy. So we ended up making more money a month. So even though we pulled out the money to buy this asset, all right, I'm sorry, this luxury item, not the asset, right? We used our asset And it didn't put it in trouble. I mean, the cash flow coming in increased after we did this, right? Because we redid the mortgage and everything, right? But we were able to buy something luxurious, but letting our assets buy it instead of cash flow, which is amazing. And that's what he's talking about. All right, last one. Spend to get rich. Being able to execute on the first three tips on budgeting means building a mindset that says when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. Most people stop spending on charity, investing, and savings when times get tough. The rich, however, figure out ways to make more money, by spending more money on assets, even when times are tough. And this is so true, you know. I mean, we try and buy two or three things every year, and we've had lean years. But, you know, it's that discipline to say, okay, how are we increasing our portfolio? And this may sound, I mean, for some of you right now, if you're in struggle or survival mode, I get it. But so was I, you know, and that doesn't mean anything. All it means is there's two things that you may want to think about. What are you reading? Read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Read The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind with T. Harv Eker. I'll have him on the show, by the way. He's a buddy of mine. And but the other part is, you know, so what you're putting in and who are you spending time with? You've got to start looking at your environment, because your income is going to be the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. Very, very close. All right. So you've got to start spending and thinking differently. What's going in is coming out. You know, your outer world reflects your inner world. If you're broke, if you're unhappy, it's just a symptom of what's going on inside. So we work inside first. We change us first, and then we'll get the things we want. Got it? Anyway, so ladies and gentlemen, it was so great. Well, I'm a little bit over, a minute and a half over. What am I doing today? I'm over. However, you can see that I'm trying to buy time here, because I was going to play another song, you know that? And then I'm sort of here, I'm dithering around, and then I forgot, which one was it? Which was the song? Which was the song that I was going to play you? And then suddenly I see it. So listen, guys, I'll see you on the other side. Thank you so much. I send my love. We're going to play out this song instead of my normal song. Have a good one. See you on the other side. Oh, you see, music make a difference.